Good afternoon. Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio today with Tanya and Beth and Janelle and her mom, and also Miss Tara.
And you.
And me, Sandy. Yeah, the one that can't say Cultivating Hearts. we've been dialoguing in Mark 5 and about the healing power of Jesus. And it's just been amazing seeing the comparisons and similarities. And today we're going to open with how faith is demonstrated. Take it from
Not Tara. Faith Marian, your granddaughter, but faith.
Right. Faith.
Yes, faith Marian.
I hear that, and I just want to sing the song, Faith, Faith, but I can't sing it. So Sabrina's not here. She could sing it. Okay, so we have been covering in Mark 5, verses 21 through 43, the stories of Jairus. Is that how you say it? I'm doing my southern twist. I'll get it. I will learn to speak like
fast,
a Midwestern.
What'd you say? Say it fast, quick, and just keep on.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. My children are constantly correcting me because I am so southern. I say things so wrong. Sorry.
Just know that
I love you.
Not wrong.
exactly.
Well, Jesus had healed the demon-possessed man, gone to the other side of the lake because the people just didn't want him around. And as he went over, a synagogue ruler wanted him to heal his daughter. And in the process of walking to go and see his daughter, a woman who had bled for 12 years in the crowd snuck up and touched Jesus, and the power left him, and she was completely healed. Jesus confronted her, and they were all like, why are you looking? There's so many people. And she ended up telling him the truth of what happened, and he said, your faith has healed you.
Amen.
He said that before his words were even done. Some men from Jairus's home came and said, don't even bother the teacher anymore, your daughter is dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, just believe. And they went, and there were mourners there. What you need to know, we haven't covered up to this point professional mourners. I'll explain that in a second. And making a commotion, Jesus tells them that the little girl is asleep, she's not dead, and they laugh. And he sends them away, takes the three disciples with him and the parents, goes up and says, Talitha kum, little girl, get up. And she gets up, she walks around. He tells them not to tell anyone and to feed her. So essentially, in a shortened version, that's the summary of what we're covering in our passage today in Mark 5. Go read to get the full measure of it. But we have been examining likes and differences, comparisons and contrasts. We ended last time on how faith is demonstrated in action and what that looks like. So I want us to start there because we need to see this whole Mark 5 is all about faith. And it's about the faithless being healed, a demon-possessed man, someone who didn't even want to be healed, to two people coming and approaching and asking for healing and how Jesus gives it. We were talking about how each of them, in this comparison and contrast, acted as they went to Jesus, and then the actions of what Jesus did. And their faith in action was just beautiful. I mean, the approach, we talked about the bowing down and the confession, and Jairus saying, you know, my daughter's sick. Will you heal her? Come and touch her, and will you heal her? And for the sick woman for 12 years, and how she just reached out, even in secret, in faith, though. She went in faith. And then that Jesus heard both. The simplicity, I love the simplicity of how Jesus just turned and left and went with Jairus to his home. There was no, where do you live? How far is it? 60 miles? No, I'm in my way to blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's just he turned and he went. Yep. And in the process, then the woman touches him. And so he pauses because power happens in the midst of him on his way on a mission to do healing. Healing occurs. How like God. And, you know, and I'm just going to share a quick story on that lines. When I was in Guatemala on a mission trip, my good friend, and actually she's good friends with a couple of people here in this room, Rhonda, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And one night on the trip, we had gathered as a team to pray for Rhonda's healing. Well, while on the trip, we were in the process of building a house for a family. I had scratched behind my right ear, and the dirt was so dirty, I had an infection get on my behind my ear, and it was so bad that they thought they were going to have to take me to the hospital to get it lacerated. We tried to go to a clinic. The clinic was closed that day. The guy, whoever ran the clinic, the doctor didn't go that day, and we traveled long distance to go to it, and it was just getting worse, and the nurse on the team's like, you know, I may have to lacerate this. It's just not healthy. It's not safe. And so we found a pharmacist, got medicine, but that night we were praying for Rhonda, and as I had my hand praying on Rhonda, I had three sharp pains occur in that spot. And Gina Emerton was my roommate at the time. And I went back to the room and I said, Gina, I want you to take the bandage off my wound. And she said, why? And I said, I know this is going to sound weird, but I think God healed me when we were praying for Rhonda. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? We're praying for healing for Rhonda. What do you mean he healed you? And I said, I had three sharp pains. I couldn't even stand when two of them, like, went through. And I said, and then I felt like it was gone. And she's like, okay. So she pulled my bandage off, and she said, Tara, all the infection has released.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it was one of those moments where I felt like, so Jesus was, we were on mission for Jesus for the healing of Rhonda, and in faith praying for Rhonda, and in the process, he healed me. It was, and you know, and I am one of those people that when it comes, I'm a skeptic. I confess it out loud. I need help. I am a person that needs to hear this passage over and over and over. And that's what happened for this woman. She had been to every doctor she could get to, and nothing worked. She had experienced all kinds of things. We talked about the superstitions she may have been put through. And in faith, she just, let me touch the edge of your cloak. And in the process of Jesus being on mission for Jairus' daughter, she found healing. And sometimes that's how God works. Is that faith demonstrated in action, even when we're in mission for something else, God can bring healing and blessing in another way.
But Tara, isn't that, you know, you always say that, you know, when you're in the midst of something, the best thing to do is to help someone else.
Yes.
Because then, you know, it takes the focus off you.
Oh, yeah.
And through that, you know, God works on our hearts.
He does.
Completely.
Absolutely.
Because our focus is off of us.
And, you know, we immediately ran out. It was late. We ran out to go tell everybody, to show everybody.
Sure. On
the And in the process, our entire team's faith increased. Because if you remember, we ended last session me saying that when Tanya said, I think this happened, and the reason why Jesus called her out to speak was because it was to restore her into community. She, by law, was deemed unclean. Nobody in that crowd and nobody in her family would know she had been healed because that is not something you're going to go around and talk about, especially back then, because men didn't talk with women and everything. It would have been very difficult for the truth to be believed apart from it happening in a public way. And so Jesus knew that in order for the complete restoration to happen in her life, it had to be in community. And by saying, he gave her two promises. What were the two promises he gave her? Y'all turn to your Bibles and look it up. It's going to be, I don't know, where, about
verse
what point?
34.
Thank 34, you yep. that you know where it's at. What does he give to her? What does he say?
Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
Mine says freed. You're free.
Okay.
You know, the demon-possessed man was freed, too. So there's another connection.
Yeah. Okay, so the two are?
Physical healing. And your suffering is over.
Okay.
Pain and
peace.
Peace.
And so, but if I think about it even more, I would say that there's three because it brings her into community to where she's acceptable, socially acceptable now. It's just awesome. And I was reading in the Holman commentary, they said one of the things that happens in a war, and I never would have ever thought, this is such a man's way of thinking as a woman, I would not have thought this way, but it so made sense, that when a war happens, that the generals and the bigwigs all decide the war is over, but then the line of communication, the people are still in battle. Mm-hmm. Okay, the people are still fighting. So, like, the Civil War was over, but many people still died when the Civil War was over because they had not yet on the front lines been told it's over. To retreat. And it's the same thing with World War One and World War Two, that it, until they hear you've been released from battle. And that is what happens oftentimes with our faith, that Jesus on the cross, it was finished. We no longer have to fight for the things that we fight for on this earth. The battle's been won. We have to learn to act upon in faith what has been accomplished in our behalf. And in her case, he needed to be known in the community so that it would travel amongst the troops. The battle has been won. The victory is secure. She can move forward now. And it's the same for us. What happens is that when we are dealing with life, whatever it may be, in so many ways, it can be just like these, and that we're dealing with spiritual warfare. We could be dealing with physical illness, chronic illness, you know, whatever it may be, job loss, wayward teens, you know, whatever. We have to understand the victory is secure. We need to act as men and women, soldiers of the kingdom of God, knowing that the victory is done. And then move forward in our faith action amongst our community.
And even, you know, kind of continuing with that, continue to tell the people that don't know.
Completely.
I mean, that's, you know,
that's key. So when we see somebody struggling.
Or those who don't know. That it's been finished.
Completely.
They've never heard.
Or that there's been a war.
Or they're in a war.
Exactly.
And
I, this whole week I have been praying and pondering because of an assignment I'm writing for Lifeway right now on 1 Peter. But just helping, loving within the kingdom, to truly loving the way that we are called to within the kingdom. And I've said it before, I know I've said it here on the radio, and I'll say it again because it's worthy of being said. We have to view each other as POWs. I think what happens is that we put up our Christian barriers in that, oh, this person, in my mind, is deemed unclean. For whatever reasons, you list off your reasons. We make our own Levitical laws, and therefore we cross somebody off when Jesus says, the cross took care of it. Now go rescue. And so that's where we're called to action in faith, and what he wants us to do in restoring into community, because Jesus's healing will always restore us back into community. It will not to cause us to go back into isolation. It's important.
Powerful.
I know.
That's just cool.
That's just cool.
Well, and you know, I don't know where I heard it, like sometime this week, is that, you know, when you're looking, you know how you protect your kids at all costs? You know, when somebody says something against them, you know, and then we go out and say something against, you know, either, you know, some, another brother, you know, another fellow Christian, that's how God feels. He has that bear instinct. He's feeling the same way because those are his kids that we're talking against. And it just, that kind of just brought that together. It's like, why are we doing that? You know, why, you know, we're not having that community. Not acting as though we're together in this war and we just won it. Let's celebrate together.
Okay, now what you just said is a perfect example to tie in. Okay, Jesus' exact words to the woman who was ill was, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed of your sufferings. Jairus came to Jesus and he had asked, my daughter is ill. Will you touch her and bring healing? I want you to catch the connection here. It is a actual physical manifestation of what he came and asked Jesus to do in behalf of his daughter. And he has seen it lived out in that moment. When they walk up and say, don't bother the teacher anymore, your daughter's dead.
Wow.
Jesus' words at that point was, just believe. Mm-hmm. Just believe. Mm-hmm. And the actual Greek word is it's a continuous action of belief. It is a belief that does not stop because of one event. Just because he went and bowed at Jesus' feet and asked Jesus to heal, he must continue in his belief in how Jesus is at work in his behalf and at work in behalf of his daughter. So even though the world has come in three, the mm-hmm. reason why they sent three and the reason why Jesus takes three is that three is the Levitical law of bearing a testimony. Witness. You know, if you have a witness by mm-hmm. three, mm-hmm. two, mm-hmm. you know. And so he takes them along because of that. That's the reason why three came. So that it's not just one. You need to see. This is pretty serious. Three came.
I think it's interesting, too, that, like, it's obvious symbolism that the woman had been suffering for 12 years mm-hmm. and this girl was 12 years old.
I thought that same thing.
Yeah, it's like Jesus is kind of giving Jairus confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this.
Yeah.
Your daughter has only been alive for 12 years. This woman, for suffered. The same amount of time, mm-hmm. has been suffering, and I can cure that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, mm-hmm. look at what I've done here. Look at how I've healed her and how this daughter of mine has been healed mm-hmm. by her faith. I can do the same thing for your daughter. Mm-hmm. So he's like giving him proof, like, look at what I can do.
He uses numbers a lot.
I've never read it like that, but to see an opportunity to mm-hmm. increase his faith. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's an amazing thing, and because Jairus, I'll use your, he needs, I know she's got to be right because I know I've been taught the Southern way. I can't tell you how many words I say wrong. As John McNeil, the Dean of Men at Grace University, says, isn't it great that God still loves us when we pronounce it wrong? Like, yes. I must say it a lot. We have 1 minute left. You need to come back next week because what we're going to do is we're going to start off with this topic of how we've seen how the faith in action and the delay of Jesus' response in behalf of Jairus' daughter builds his faith. Mm-hmm. And it's building mm-hmm. faith within the community. And then I also want us to touch on to the six different ways that touch occurs within this passage. Mm-hmm. Because that is an extremely important factor within it. So you got to make sure I don't mess up and not get either one of these guys. And we're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just send love to those that are listening. And we just wanted to say thank you to the donors that make it possible by giving to the Open Door Mission. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org or tararye.com or at opendoormission.org. Thank you and God bless.